This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Today, I'm joined in the studio by
Lily Chai.
We also have a guest in the studio with us who'll be on mic a little bit later on. It is Zen Chow from YYC Tax Consultants. Why have we got him in the studio today? Well, online shopping has been on the upward trend, with many of us finding it convenient to purchase what we need online. A bulk of these purchases are actually low-value goods, buoyed by impulse buying due to the low price point. I have no idea what that means. Impulse buying, what is that?
Yeah.
Now, the Dewan Rakyat has recently passed an amendment to the sales tax, which will allow these low-value goods to be taxed. So Zen is with us to give us some insights into the into this new tax and its potential impact. That's what we'll be talking about. So this move is projected to bring an additional 200 million ringgit in tax revenue for Malaysia in per year. The Deputy Finance Minister, Datuk Muhammad Shahar Abdullah, has said that the expansion of the sales tax was part of a move under the government's Revenue Sustainability Initiative, which was announced under Budget 2022. He further added, and here's a quote, "The proposal to expand the scope is not a step backwards, and Malaysia is not the only one that will or has implemented it. At the global level, countries like Australia, New Zealand, the UK and Norway have already imposed either goods and services tax, GST, or value-added tax, VAT, on lower value goods. Singapore will also be implementing the same tax from the 1st of January 2023, which will affect goods worth 400 Sing dollars and below at a GST rate of 7%.
Right. So according to the Deputy Finance Minister, taxing goods sold online was very much in line with economic development and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development's international VAT/GST guidelines, which was released in 2017. Mm-hmm. It outlined the proposed indirect tax on transactions which cover cross-border trades in a move to address the challenges of taxing the e-commerce economy. So Malaysia has stressed that the additional tax revenue collected would be used for the development of the country, which would benefit the rakyat, especially the needy. So let's look at the details of the bill and what we know at the present. So it is targeted for implementation on 1st of January 2023 next year, and a proposed flat rate of 10% will be imposed on low-value products. And the tax will cover low-value goods sold by registered sellers or sellers liable to be registered through online platforms and delivered to Malaysia. The definition of sellers will now include people selling these goods or operating a marketplace online, regardless of nationality or geographic locations.
So at present, low-valued goods, which are valued at 500 ringgit and below, are not subjected to any form of tax when they're imported into Malaysia. This is very much in line with the de minimis facility. In legal terms, this means something that is too small to be meaningful or taken into consideration. So this has put local traders at a disadvantage when competing against imported low-value goods which are not taxed. For context, locally produced goods are subject to sales tax at a set rate. Aside from the unfair advantage, certain parties have taken advantage of the de minimis facility by declaring high-value goods as low-value items below 500 ringgit to avoid being taxed. And according to the government, the new sales tax will level the playing field. Now, there have been several responses to this proposed tax. Baninder Singh from the Malaysian Consumers Movement has urged the government to outline the list of products that will incur the sales tax due to the ambiguity on the goods or classes of goods that will be taxed, which is based on the finance minister's discretion. Mm. He further added, quote, "The government must be very clear on this or else it will be subject to abuse."
Right, regulations are very important. Mm. And yeah, Kim Leng, the professor of economics from Sunway University, has said although this tax will level the playing field, there needs to be an assessment done from the cost and benefit perspective. This should also cover how the new tax might discourage online online shopping. And more information on the expected tax revenue is also needed. And this needs to be factored against administrative costs as well as additional burden put on the country's huge number of online retailers. And Dr. Shankaran Nambiar from the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research is of the opinion that the extra tax revenue will not be a considerable amount. However, he noted that online shopping is on the rise and to some extent, it's replacing physical shopping. Therefore, it stands to reason that this tax should be imposed as it is in line with the rising trend of digitalization.
Okay, that we've laid most of it out for you there. But we have questions, of course, and we will be asking Zen in just a few minutes some of our questions. If you've got some as well, feel free to drop us a WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. Lily, you know, not a personal question, but how much do you spend shopping online?
I don't.
Yeah, what?
I'm pretty frugal. Nah, I spend quite a lot, I guess, on online shopping. It is very convenient, mm-hmm. undeniable. I mean, I can get my stuff, like if I buy today, I can definitely get it delivered to my house tomorrow.
Right.
So this is the convenience. But I'm just thinking if what will happen to the price tags, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, as a person who buys a lot online, I think if the price tag and the final amount that I'm paying has a very huge gap, then it will kind of deter me from online shopping.
Will it though? 10%?
It's a lot. It's a lot of money. Mm. But if the price tag is already tax included, then I will like immediately evaluate if it's worth it or not. It won't deter me or have like a sour feeling of buying,
right.
If you know what I mean. Yeah.
I'm just going to glance over to our tax consultant over here. Zen, you don't need to answer into the microphone, but could this potentially be affecting digital goods as well? Can you give me a nod or a shake? It could be.
Oh, yeah.
So we're looking at stuff like your subscriptions that you get for your Spotify,
right.
Your Netflix, all of that kind of stuff as well, which I'm sure will be irritating to a lot of people mm-hmm. who subscribe to an awful lot of these things.
That's someone...
Yeah, I made a list. How long ago
yeah.
was it? I think there was 11 or 12 services that I'm subscribed to. Could be a little bit fewer by the beginning of next year. We'll get to that. Folks, let us know. Give us your questions. 018-789-8899. We will be talking about the proposed tax rate of a 10% as well. When we come back, of course, we have Zen Chow from YYC Tax Consultants. He's going to talk about the proposed sales tax on low-value goods and how it will affect a favourite online pastime for many of us, especially Lily, online shopping. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Because friends matter. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by...
Lily Chai.
We've also welcomed Zen Chow from YYC Tax Consultants with us. Hi there, Zen. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Hi, Richard. Hi, Lily.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. And just a quick recap, folks. Online shopping has been on the upward trend, with many of us finding it convenient to purchase what we need online, particularly during the pandemic as well. And a bulk of these purchases are actually low-value goods buoyed by impulse buying due to the low price point. The Day One Rakyat has recently passed an amendment to... an amendment to the sales tax, which will allow these low-value goods to be taxed. And we've got Zen here, of course, to get some insights into this. Zen, I mean, the first question, it's a fairly simple question with a complex answer. So the government has passed this sales tax amendment
yep.
bill, which updates the Sales Tax Act 2018 to mm-hmm. allow for low-value goods sold online to be taxed. Briefly, I guess, what can you tell us about this bill at the moment then?
All right. I think we all know that the sales tax amendment bill has been passed right, mm-hmm. in the parliament. And of course, if I just to highlight some selling points about this bill is that we know this new sales tax mechanism is going to be introduced from 1st January 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And the proposed rate right now is at 10%. Well, a lot of people would say that, hey, I thought sales tax have different rates. You know,
right.
there are exemption, you know, like 0%, that's 5%, that's 10%. So why is this like fixed as just 10%? Well, that's currently what is being tabled. Well, it's at 10% and it's only on low value goods, like just what both of you have actually introduced that
mm-hmm.
Currently we actually have this de minimis facilities, you know, for low value goods imported into Malaysia, especially via a courier, to be exempted from sales tax, which in other words, customs are actually not imposing sales tax, you know, if goods are actually brought into Malaysia as long as they are not more than 500 ringgit. Mm-hmm. You know, but with this new mechanism, it actually means, you know, in future, if any consumers were to buy goods online, yeah, through the online marketplace, and if the goods are actually brought into Malaysia, even via air courier, well, even if it's less than 500 ringgit, they will actually impose a 10% tax on these goods. Mm-hmm. So we know that, you know, from 1st January onwards, we'll probably be buying something at a higher price. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's something that the consumers have to be ready. But mm-hmm. of course, there's still a lot of things that are still not clear at the moment. Like, for example, you know, would all online sellers be required to be registered right now?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's the registration threshold? Because, yeah. you know, it wouldn't make sense if this seller is only selling, like, say, less than 100,000, you know, in a year, and you are asking this seller to register themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these are still not clear at the moment. Of course, we have to wait and see, you know, mm-hmm. for the further regulations to be issued. Mm. So, I would definitely urge, you know, online sellers to prepare themselves and keep themselves updated from time to time to mm-hmm. know, you know, right. what's the next thing that they need to do.
Mm. Right. Okay. So, the new tax was meant to also provide a new level playing field
That's
for
right.
local sellers and manufacturers. So how much of a factor do you think that this is compared to the government wanting to cover a new tax base?
Yeah, I must say that this is definitely one of the objectives of why the government is introducing this. Because currently we know that local manufacturers, they actually have to charge sales tax, yeah, even though if they are selling something that's less than 500 ringgit. Because as a local manufacturer, and if you are registered for sales tax, you know, whenever you sell your goods, you have to charge sales tax, whether it's at 10%, 5%, or unless it's exempted. So, you know, it gives a tendency to consumers to then say, hey, why don't I buy, you know, online from an overseas seller when overseas sellers is not charging me sales tax? Mm. If I buy from a local seller, even though they may not sell it to me directly, they may sell it through a trader, but I know sales tax is actually embedded in the price. So, you know, from that perspective, we will see that, hey, this is not a level playing field, you know? Mm-hmm. When I buy online and I buy from overseas, it's going to be cheaper. Mm-hmm. So the government is definitely trying to, you know, bring it back to a level playing field. So that's definitely one of the factors. And of course, some may think that, hey, this is going to bring more revenue to the government.
Right.
Yeah, which we can talk about that later.
Which I'm sure yes. a lot of people are thinking that that's what's happening. Right.
Yeah. Mm, okay. So yeah. So and I think just now both of you have already mentioned that, you know, a lot of countries have also implemented this already.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Malaysia, you know, wanting to be a more advanced country, no, it's definitely a step forward. It's definitely mm-hmm. a step forward for Malaysia, you know, to bring in this mechanism so that, you know, we are on par with more developed countries.
Right. you just mentioned, you know, other countries as well. Let's look at some of those other countries. You know, mm-hmm. we can compare Australia, New Zealand and the UK. They've implemented, you know, goods and services tax, value-added tax on low-value goods. How does Malaysia's 10% compare to these other countries? Do you think it's a fair number?
Well, okay, so some of you may think that, no, 10%, it's not a lower amount. Yeah, some of them would say that, hey, 10%, you know, it would increase my price by 10%. But if we compare to some other countries that you have mentioned, like say Australia, yeah, Australia is also imposing a 10%, yeah, mm-hmm. because they have GST in their country. Mm-hmm. So they are also imposing, you know, GST on low value goods that's of $1,000 Australian dollars or less. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look at New Zealand, it's even higher. New mm-hmm. Zealand is imposing a 15%, yeah, because New Zealand is also having that GST mechanism in their country. So you see, if we look at Malaysia and we compare it with Australia and New Zealand, hey, we are lower. But of course, some of you may say, hey, Singapore is going to impose this as well. Singapore is going to impose this from the 1st January 2023 as well.
Right.
But Singapore is going to impose it at only 7%.
Mm. I think the UK on VAT originally used to be 17.5 and they increased it recently to 20, didn't they?
That's right.
Well, it's no small chunk of change, you know.
That's right. So it really depends on where do you want to put Malaysia and which country do you want to compare Malaysia with?
Oh, is that what we're playing now? It's like, you know, where do we put ourselves?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
All right. So the government is expected to bring in an additional 200 million ringgit revenue from this new tax. So can you give us a rough sense of how this compares to other forms of taxation collected by from the government?
Yeah, sure. Now, I think if any of us actually recall from the previous budget, you know, the budget 2022, the government has actually announced that the target revenue or the target collection for year 2022 is 234 billion. Yeah, we're talking about 234 billion. Wow. Now, of course, if we just focus, you know, on out of this 234 billion, Like roughly 127 billion comes from direct taxes, and 44 billion comes from indirect tax. So sales tax is actually an indirect tax. So if we just like drill down further, you know, and just look at indirect tax, you know, 44 billion is coming from indirect tax, and you know, from the projection, this new mechanism is going to bring in about 200 million only. So that's like roughly what, 0.45%. I've just done the math, you know. It's just 0.45% of that 44 billion. If you ask me, it's not significant at all. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not significant at all. So if we were to think that, you know, this is going to bring in a lot of revenue for the country, well, that's just 0.45% of that indirect tax component. And if we look at the whole 234 billion target collection, it's 0.09%. Yeah, I've just done the math again. You know, 0.09%. If you ask me, that's not significant. But that's why I was saying, you know, the main objective here could probably be because the government wants to create a level playing field.
Right. Mm. Interesting. Folks, let us know your thoughts on this. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. On Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. I think we'll take a short break here. Let's have some music from Blur and Park Life. When we come back, more questions, of course, for Zen. We'll be asking about ripple effects and things like that, and moving forward, whether or not businesses and entrepreneurs can keep themselves updated with these latest tax changes. That's all coming up after these messages here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business filled minds, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and of course, you've just heard
Lily Chai.
In the studio with us right now, we have Zen. Thank you very much for joining us again, Zen. We've been going through a whole bunch of stuff, but for those of you that are only just joining us right now, we are talking about the kind of impact on the proposed low-value goods tax may have. The Day One Rakyat has passed the Sales Tax Amendment Bill 2022, which will allow the government to tax low-value goods that are sold online and delivered within Malaysia. If you have any opinions on this or any questions you have for us or for Zen, get us via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter, we're available at
BFM Radio.
Oh, it's all rehearsed, almost as if you'd done that before. Right, Zen, let me ask you a question then. Continuing on from what we were talking about earlier on, rising prices for low-value goods are just one aspect of the new taxation. Do you see any other ripple effects that might happen from the implementation of this tax?
Yes, definitely, definitely. Now, a lot of people
I was hoping you were going to say no.
No, definitely there will be a ripple effect to this, because you see, most people would think that, hey, you know what, low-value goods, you know, 10% sales tax, well, that just means that I'll probably be paying 10% more on whatever that I buy online. But that's not really the case. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because I was actually talking about, you know, sellers. Online sellers are now required to be registered, you know, for this new mechanism, this new sales tax mechanism. And, you know, apart from just registering themselves, they have to administer it. You know, they need manpower to actually look at, you know, whether they have collected the correct amount of sales tax, whether they have submitted their sales tax return correctly on time to prevent themselves from being penalized, you know, by the Royal Malaysian Customs. I mean, supposedly it should be governed by the Royal Malaysian Customs. So, you see, online sellers, we know that online sellers are usually, you know, small, more medium enterprise, or probably they are like the one-man show, you know, kind of business. But right now, you need someone to actually administer holding. That means they probably need to hire like a brand new person, a new staff, just to look after this.
An accountant, perhaps.
Exactly. Right. Even if they do not hire someone to actually look after this for them, they probably have to outsource this work to, you know, some other, you know, companies like say our firm, you know, an accounting firm to handle this. So that would add cost, definitely more cost to their business. And we always know that when the seller or when the merchant has more cost towards doing business, who will they transfer this cost to? The consumer. Mm-hmm. So it actually means that they may not just increase the price by 10%, they may increase their price even more just to cover their cost because they still need to have their margin.
Right.
So that's definitely the ripple effect that we will be seeing, you know, when this mechanism is being rolled out, because there's so many online sellers out there. And yeah, we will definitely have to pay more.
Just before Lily, just before your next question, Lily, this proposed 10% kind of tax, is this something that for a lot of online sellers, they could just kind of, you add it to their back end software and that could then track it for them automatically. Is that a possibility, do you think?
Well, I would believe that yes, if they have like a good and robust accounting system, well, they can actually incorporate this into their sales system. And, you know, each time when they sell, you know, they will know how much sales tax that they have to collect. And if that system is good enough, they will be able to track this. But then again, they'll have to invest in this new software. And again, that's additional cost.
Yeah.
All right. So part of the reason many of us shop for, you know, these low value goods online is due to like the convenience, and the price also makes it very negligible and impulse purchases without requiring me much thought.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And do you see this trend changing now that the new tax is expected to raise prices for these goods?
Now, I would personally think that it may. The reason is because of that ripple effect that I've just mentioned, you know. So it may not be just a 10% increase in price. It may be more than that due to the cost increment to the sellers. Yeah. So, you know, to buyers, they may not just, you know, buy online just because it's cheaper than buying from a retail store anymore. You know, who knows, you know, when this mechanism is being rolled out, you may see that the price being sold online could be even higher than buying from a retail store. You know, so people would probably, you know, like change from buying online to buying from a retail store, right? It really depends on how much additional cost this online seller has to bear. So I would personally think that, yeah, the trend of like just buying online due to it's cheaper may change. Yeah, but of course, it may not change a lot. Yeah, but still, I would see a reduction maybe, you know, from people buying online.
I think to kind of echo what you've just said, I think we at the beginning, you might see a little bit of a reduction before it kind of levels off and kind of plateaus a little bit, as we've seen with a lot of us who've been buying, you know, whether it's groceries or delivery services or car hire or whatever it is. We know that those prices, of course, during the pandemic went up for a little while, and for most of the part, they've kind of stayed up there. And I think people have kind of resigned to the fact that these are where the prices are now and they're going to stay at that. And I think purchasing has still been as strong as it has been, if not stronger than 2 years ago.
Yeah, but because we're buying the convenience, not just the thing that we want, right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know if it will I don't know. As a you know, a consumer, I know that my consuming habits might not change all that much, unless it is more than 10%, which we're expecting it not to be, right? Yeah. Anyway, final question for you then, Sam. Moving forward, how do you think businesses and entrepreneurs can help keep themselves updated with these latest tax changes?
Yeah, like just what I was mentioning earlier when we just first started, you know, there are still a lot of uncertainties right now. Like, for example, when do I have to register myself?
Right.
You know, what's the threshold for registration? So sellers have to actually prepare themselves, and they have to keep themselves updated, you know, with the latest rules, latest regulations, you know, on when do they have to register, you know, and how often do they have to submit, you know, sales tax return. I mean, of course, right now what was being said is that, you know, the tax paper is every 3 months. Yeah, but again, yeah, we have to wait for everything to be confirmed, you know, and to know what exactly a seller have to do, you know, to actually prepare themselves, to prevent themselves from being penalized. You know, we always say that, you know, one mistake that you do, you get penalized from the government. So that's not something we want. So sellers really have to keep themselves updated. And of course, there are a lot of ways that, you know, you can do this. Like just say, for example, you know, our firm, you know, YYC, we have this platform, you know, we call it TaxPod, Tax Professionals on Demand. You know, this is a platform, this is a one-stop platform for people to actually get the latest updates, you know, latest tax knowledge from this one-stop platform, because we put in all the videos, you know, all the latest updates in there. We even have live classes every month, you know, for people to find out, you know. So this is something that probably seller can have a look, yeah. And of course, if you think, you know, you want to know more about this, you can just go to our website. That's www.taxpod.com.my.
Very well done. Do you have any final thoughts on this? I mean, in general, how do you feel about this whole thing?
Now, again, you know, there are a lot of complexities to this new mechanism. You know, like if I were just to point out a few, you know, we know that the low value goods, you know, it's will be taxed at 10% if it's being sold online. But again, you know, the same goods could be not taxed 10% if it's not sold online. You know, like say if I'm a retail store, you know, I'm not an online seller. I'm selling exactly the same thing. Yeah. And I'm bringing exactly the same thing from overseas into Malaysia, but I do not have to charge 10%, whereas the online seller has to charge 10%. So again, you see, we see that same goods, same price, but you know, different mechanism being imposed. Because if I bring goods from overseas into Malaysia and I sell it in my retail store, sales tax is imposed upon importation during clearance. But if I'm an online seller, I have to charge you immediately a 10% when you actually make that order online. You see? And the other more complex thing is about if this goods is actually a tax-exempted goods. We know that sales tax has this 0% or exempted goods, you know? But if I were to sell it online, you know, I have no choice but to put a 10%. Whereas if I were to sell it like from a retail store, if I bring it into Malaysia via the normal importation, I actually do not pay any sales tax when I import them into Malaysia.
Is there a worry then that perhaps there might be an element of shooting themselves in the foot, if you know what I mean? We see that digitalization is going up. We see that people are buying much more online. And then by adding this potential tax, you could be scaring people away from buying online and going back to the high street.
I mean, I would say that to some people, they may view this as, hey, why is the double standard over here? You know, like same goods, same price, but why is the mechanism so different?
As Lily mentioned, it could be the convenience. We should call it the convenience tax.
Probably we should rename it. So that these are the things that I think everyone should actually be aware of. You know, especially if you're an online seller, just make sure that you familiarize yourself with the new mechanism, you know, so that, everything goes smoothly. Most importantly, prevent yourself from being penalized.
You got any more questions, Lily?
Not from my end.
No, not from your end? Okay, Zen, thank you very much for your time today. Absolute pleasure to have you here in the studio.
You're most welcome.
Do come back. What was that website again that people can check out?
It's www.taxpot.com.my.
Lovely. Yeah. Folks, if you missed this show, we have been talking about assessing the impact of the proposed low-value goods tax. As we know, online shopping has been on the upward trend, with many of us finding it very convenient to purchase what we need online. A bulk of these purchases are actually low-value goods, buoyed by impulse buying due to the low price point. The Day One Rakyat has recently passed an amendment to the sales tax, which will allow these low-value goods to be taxed. We, of course, have been hearing from Zen Chow from YYC Tax Consultants. We've been getting his thoughts on this. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Now, don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it's the Breakfast Grill replay with Charles Brewer, the group CEO of Post Malaysia. Their latest second quarter results improved from the year prior, posting a smaller net loss of 5.25 million ringgit compared to a net loss of 121 million in 2021. According to its group CEO, Charles Brewer, this is part and parcel of the transformation journey which it embarked upon a year ago. However, despite improving operations, the ongoing economic uncertainties and changing consumer behaviour posed a challenging outlook for the National Courier. He returned to the Breakfast Grill this morning to talk about how Post Malaysia plans to navigate all of these issues. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. To take us up there, we've got some music from The Smiths with This Charming Man. And we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon for Enterprise Biz Bytes. For BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.